see my Savior hanging on Calvary, bearing there for sinners bitterest agony. Gratitude o'erwhelms me, makes my eyes grow dim. All my ransomed being captive is to Him. I can see the blood drops red 'neath His thorny crown. From the cruel nail wounds, now they are falling down.
Lord, when I would wander from thy love away, let me see those blood drops
shed for me that day. Christ, the King of glory, gave up His heavenly home, humbled for a season, dying to save His own. Now He is exalted, He has paid sin's price, ransomed guilty sinners by His sacrifice.
Amen. Thank you, Grimes, Mrs. Brubaker. I ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. I was planning on going back into John chapter 15, and then the events of the week, I just asked God, Lord, I'm willing to go right back to John chapter 15. Do you have anything else for me to help with this week? And I prayed about it, wasn't coming up with anything. And so John chapter 15 was the direction, but then God sent me to this passage that I read through a few times, and God started to show me things from this passage that I think will be a blessing to you no matter who you are this morning or what you're going through. And I think that they'll be a blessing to you. Indeed, as I think of J. Albert Greenewalt, he was a blessing to me personally, and he was a blessing to a lot of people here. Every single person, unless a visitor this morning, he was a blessing to. And even then, as of even last week, J. Albert was there greeting visitors as they came in. And he was there every time, he and Carol. Every time. And what a blessing that is. Why do I say that? Because, I try to be careful. I don't want anything to, I'm not trying to make it an emotional anything this morning. But I will say this, body, Faith Bible Church, we're going to have to pick up the slack. Because there will be. Because that was a need that was met by J. Albert and Carol. And of course, Carol is still here, but J. Albert has led that endeavor. And so we're going to need that. But they were there. And they were a blessing to so many people. As I look across the room, there are many people that your first time that you came, he was there. They were there. And so we need to pick up that slack. And I know you will. We'll do a great job at that. I want to look at this passage in 2 Corinthians. I hope you're there. I want to read to you verses 3, 4, and 5. And then we're going to take apart and we're going to look at a few important things from this great passage that I know will be a blessing to you if you listen. I beg you to listen to this challenge this morning. And as we go on, the points only get stronger. looking forward to it. Let's look at these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Father, I'm asking you that you please help me to give the message that you want me to give and no other. Lord, I pray that these would not be my words, but they would be your words. And I am just looking to you to lead and guide this morning where people need it. That's your business. I simply give it out. Help me to do that. Help these folks to listen and that they would allow the Holy Spirit to illumine their souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, the source of comfort. The source of comfort. Verse 3 tells us the answer. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. You know, it's said here that God is the Father of mercies. In the Scriptures, when we hear the phrase, the Father of, it means that's He's the originator of. The Bible teaches us in the book of John that the devil, Satan, is the father of all lies. He's the father of lies. That means he's the originator of lies. So lies go back, untruth all go back, deception goes back to Satan himself. He's the father. It was born of him. Well, this phrase is used here of comfort. He's the God of all comfort, but he's the Father of mercies. That means, where does mercy come from? The originator. Mercy comes from no other than from the loins of God. God is the Father of mercy. The Father of mercy, and he is the God of all comfort. He is the one, the originator of comfort. It means that comfort belongs to him. It is God's possession and no other. It also means that all other comfort that does not come from God, God's comfort, is not real comfort. Now I want you to think about that. Any comfort that is given to anybody else that's not God's comfort is not true comfort. We go to a lot of things for comfort today. By the way, what is comfort? Comfort is, the word that's given here is to call to one side. Comforter, the noun comforter, descriptive of the Holy Spirit used in John. This is the Holy Spirit. And that word, the comforter, the paraclete, is to call to one's side. I want you to think about this. As he's the God of all comfort, he's saying that he's the originator. He is the one where coming to somebody's side comes from. God is the one that when we call him to our side, when he comes to our side, that's the only way that there's consolation and peace in the midst of a difficult and tough time in life. He's the only one that can truly show up to my side and help me go through the burden that I'm going through. You know, some people, think through this, some people in their distress and their difficulties go to music for comfort. Music in itself is it's a very emotional thing. And the emotions to some people trick them into thinking that music, those notes and that melody and that harmony, all of that contributes and that comforts us. I want to tell you something, brother, that unless that music is God music and those words are from God, that music is not going to be a true comfort to you. It's not going to come by your side and be there to give you peace. It might make you emotional. It might make you cry or shed tears, but I'll tell you what, it's not going to be a true comfort to you. Because God is true comfort. God is comfort.
Some people go to controlling substances when life gets tough. You know, I don't know, most people that go to a controlling substance and turn to that in life are not just doing it, you know, maybe sometimes as for a fun time, but for the most part, a lot of times people, adults, go through it because life is too difficult and they need something to go to control them or to help them, to console them, to get rid of everything in life. But we don't read here that a controlling substance is the answer to mercy or the answer to comfort. Some people try medicine. And medicine is going to take away things and help comfort and console them. Soothe their soul. There's a type of medicine called a paregoric. I'm not super familiar with it, but it's a soother. You might take an element and you know, a little child might have a tummy ache, and you take a paregoric and rub it on their stomach, and it will help go into the skin and it will soothe them. By the way, this is a side note, that word paregoric comes from this word. He's the soother. It's not medicine that will take care of the soul. It's not music. It's not a controlling substance. Some people go off to a retreat by themselves for a time of comfort. And although getting alone might seem to help, only getting alone with God is going to be true comfort. Some people go to food for comfort. When in distress, food, and they eat. But I'll tell you, food is not, according to this passage, the God of comfort. Some go to other people to be their source of comfort. We can go to other people, but unless that person is being used of the Lord to give godly comfort, people are not going to be able to give the comfort and peace that we need to make it through. Other people go to possessions and consume things and buy things because there's a lack, there's a need, there's a hole in life and we need to fill it. We understand that God is the only one that can fill that need and that hole in our lives. Some people go to amusements and entertainment to fill the void, to fill the gap. Some people go to fantasy for their comfort. All these things will fall short. You know, in the book of Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 12, the first part of that verse says, I am He that comforteth you. You see, Jehovah is the one, He is God of comfort. It is I. See, any time, and I love the name of Jehovah. You know, Jehovah is stating, I am. It's exclusive. He's self-sufficient. I am. And any other is false. You know, so many people go to someone else other than Jehovah for answers and needs to their problems. But God is telling us, I am. Would you just come to me? I am. He's saying in Isaiah, I am. I am He that comforteth you. Folks, I want to tell you, today you may be hurting, you're going through a difficult time. Anything that we do, a retreat, staying away, or listening to this, or going to that, is not going to help. But I'll tell you, God is the one. He is the source of comfort. He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Different people mourn in different ways. And I understand that. But friends, may we see from this passage that whatever way that we go to mourn, we need to make sure that it's in God. Let God be your comfort. How can you go through this, Pastor? How can we make it through? Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ. Christ which strengtheneth me. None of these other things will give us strength I can do all things through Christ. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word Lord there is Jehovah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Fear thou not, God says, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And he says here, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There was a mother, a lady, one time talking with another individual. And that lady was talking and going through different things. And as they were talking, a loud thunderstorm struck, and lightning and thunder was just going crazy. And all of a sudden, the lady stood up and she said, My Freddy, where's my Freddy? He needs me. And the man said, Why is it so important? This was her son. Why does Freddy need you? And she said, you don't understand. My son is desperately afraid of the noise and the lightning and the thunder that takes place. And I'm the only one that can take him into my arms and comfort him. Sure enough, Freddy come running in and jumped into his mother's arms, and he was taken care of. You know, Isaiah 66:13 tells us, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. You see, Jesus, God, is the only one that we can truly run to. And when we run into his arms and jump up into his arms, that we can be at peace during an extremely difficult time. Run to Jesus. Run to God. Run to Jehovah. We see the source of comfort. I want you to see the scope of comfort. He says in verse 4, who comforteth us in, what's the next word? Three words, three letters? All. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He is the God of all comfort. No matter what type of trial, tribulation that you're going through. For he was in all points tested and tried. Isn't that a blessing that he was in all points tested and tried? You know what that tells you, folks? That tells us, it tells you that he went through what you're going through now. He went through all of it. That's why he can comfort you. I tell people, I'm young in my ministry. I'm 40 years old and a pastor, and I feel foolish when I go and I try to comfort a family. I've never lost a parent. I can't comfort you. I've never gone through some things that you have gone through. I can't say that I understand, but I can tell you about somebody that does understand because he has gone through it. His very own father, Jesus Christ's very own father, turned his back on him. You can go to God. He understands. He understands everything that you go through. I don't. Other people can't. God does. So he is perfect for all. Every tribulation that we face, in time of loss, in time of pain, in time of aloneness, in time of testing, in time of weakness, in time of sorrow, in time of panic, in time of doubt, in all our tribulations, he is there for all of us. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Words of God, Psalm 91:15. He will. He will. Will you call upon him? Exodus 33:14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Joshua 1:5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Did you hear that? God will not leave you. God will be there for every bit and part of your life. He says in Hebrews 13:5, the end of the verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That word leave is to relax or to let sink. Kind of let you go. The word forsake means to let down or leave. I will never relax or let you sink. I will never let you down or leave. You see, Deuteronomy 4:39 tells us that God is above. The Lord is, He is God in heaven above. God is above us. God is around us. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. God is above us. God is around us. God is before us. Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way. God is behind us. Exodus 14:19, and the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before them, their face, and stood behind, and he stood behind them. God is above us. God is around us. God is before us. God is behind us. God is beneath us. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Above, around, before, behind, beneath, with, Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded them, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Above, around, before, behind, beneath, with. And according to 1 Corinthians 3:16, in us. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The scope of comfort. Everything, everywhere, God is there. I want you to see, thirdly, the service of comfort. The service of comfort. I told you the points get better as they go. Why would God allow us to go through a time of distress? Now, in verse 4, it starts off with who? Who is who referring to? God, the God of all comfort. Who continued on, the sentence continues on, who? God, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? Why does he do it? Well, you say, Pastor, because we need it, because we're hurting, because we're struggling. And yes, it's very true. But why does God do this? Why is God there for you? Why is God everywhere for you? Why does he do it? Because that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. All right, let's look at the pathway here. Who is the source of comfort? Where we established that first. Who is the source of comfort? It is God. Okay, he's the source. God gives his comfort to those who are in any or all distress. That's what he says here. He says in verse, back and look in verse 4. He says, who comforted us in our tribulation. So those who are in tribulation, the word is a word of distress. Okay, so God, he's the source. He gives us that comfort, or that I'm coming alongside of you. I'm your paraclete. I'm right next to you. To those who are in any or all distress, any type of distress, everyone. And then that comfort that God gives me in distress is transferred to someone else that is also in distress. Now, who or what is comforting this someone else? All right, by illustration, we have God here. Here's God. He's the God of all comfort. We understand that no comfort can come from anyone else but God, right? There is no other angle that comfort can come from. So here's God. He's the God of all comfort. And God sends his comfort my way. And here I am in my distress. Comfort comes in. Paraclete stands right by and says, I'm going to go through this with you. I'm going to be there when you're weak. I'm going to be there when you're alone. I'm going to be there when you're in distress. I'm going to be there when you're sad. I'm going to be there when you're struggling. I'm going to be there when you're tempted. I am going to be there with you everywhere you look. I am there. From there to here to where? Here's a third, another individual. They are struggling. Now, question. Who or what is comforting this someone else? Now, initially, when you look at it, what does it say? We look back at verse 4. Who, the God of all comfort, comforteth us in our tribulation. That, and then we look at this, that we. At first, it seems that it is we do it. But notice further in the verse, he says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. There's that other person. By what? What is going to be the comfort for this person? Yes, I'm going to be used. But it's by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now look at the illustration again. God, the God of all comfort, is the source of comfort. It comes to me in all, in any distress, when I'm in distress and troubles and tribulations. It comes to me. And when there are other people that are here, when I have been comforted, that comfort goes right through me to somebody else. And God directly is the God of their comfort as well. You say, preacher, can I be a comfort to somebody else? No, you can't. You just can't. I can't comfort you. Because the source is God. But God calls us to be channels so that the comfort can go right through us. That God would meet this person's need through you. God is looking to help somebody else through the struggles that you're going through. Isn't that a great thing? Why does God do what He's doing? Because I'll tell you, brother and sister, you're going to meet somebody someday that you know what they're going through. And they are going to be there in great need. And they're going to think, I don't have anywhere to go. And because of the grace that has come to you by God the Father, His mercy that's come to you by God the Father, the comfort that has come to you by God the Father, it's going to be able to come through you and go right to them. And when they're comforted, we're not going to be able to say, boy, I did a great job. We're going to say, praise God, because He is the one that comforted. I'm sorry, I can't comfort you. But God can. And God uses us. He uses us as a channel of comfort. A channel of comfort. It is not we. It is not me. It is not you. It is not us that can comfort. It is only God and His comfort that can truly comfort. All other sources of comfort are counterfeit. God is doing all the comforting in all of these people. Every bit of it. We are used as channels for God's comfort to flow to others in their distress. And herein lies the directive for me, for you, us. We who have been or are going through or will go through distress and comfort as we're blessed by what God gives to us. He is perfectly, listen to this, He's perfectly planning. You can count it by what's said here. He is perfectly planning on using you, us, as a channel of His love and comfort to others that are going through similar circumstances in life. You could already mark it down. You've got a label on you if you're going through troubles. You're God's possession. You are a designated channel. Mark it down. God has somebody for you to comfort someday. That's what He says. Comfort. By that way, that word, the words in the form of the words comfort, comforteth, that we see here, they're of the durative nature. That means they always are engaged in comforting. Once we go through comfort, we are always looking for somebody to comfort. It's like a magnet. When I go through something and I go through a loss, I'm looking for other people that I can be a channel to.
Oh, this individual has lost someone. I'm going to go and I'm going to help them. Well, this individual has gone through this. They lost their job. I'm going to be there because I know what it's like. And God comforted me, and I'm going to just be a channel so that God can help them. We ought to be looking for people to be a blessing too, because you know how it feels to go through it right now. You feel hopeless and you feel helpless, but yet God's goodness is given to you. Why don't you help give it to somebody else? Because you needed it and they needed it. It's amazing how God uses things that come into our lives. I want you to see, lastly, the sharing of comfort. The sharing of comfort. Now this is tremendous. Look at verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Notice that our sufferings, what you're going through now, get this. Again, this is the last point. Notice that our sufferings are not really ours. What does he call them in verse 5? For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. You know what he's saying there? The suffering that you are going through, those aren't your sufferings. They're just, you're sharing Christ's sufferings. They're not your sufferings. You're sharing Christ's sufferings. He's sharing his sufferings with you. These are his sufferings. His sufferings that you're going through. They're Christ's sufferings. Our sufferings are his sufferings. His sufferings are our sufferings. This is because of the union that we have with Christ. You see, when you were saved, you were baptized into the body of Christ. You were planted in his body. So now what was Christ is shared by you. You are co-heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. What is his are now yours. Now I want to tell you something. Was Christ's sufferings on the cross great? Were they big? Wow. Can you imagine Christ's sufferings? You know, Paul was an odd he understood that his sufferings was a part, a small part of what Jesus Christ was going through. He was spit upon. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was speared. He was hurt. He was whipped. He was beat. He was everything denied. He was everything that you could possibly think of. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He did all of that. When we got saved, we were baptized, placed into his body. And his sufferings now become ours. Folks, realize this. When you go through a difficulty, it's Christ sharing them with us. I have a privilege of getting to share part of Christ's sufferings. It doesn't mean that I am bearing the weight of sin. I can't be used to redeem mankind. But I get to identify with his sufferings. You see, brothers and sisters, when you go through sufferings and you say, why? Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. You are there partnering with Christ, bearing his sufferings. It's partnership with Christ. It's a privilege to be partners with Christ. But can I give you something that's greater than this? Okay,
So what I, you're saying, Pastor, what I'm going through right now, I'm partnering with Christ and I'm getting to bear his burden, I'm getting to bear his suffering also. Now, remember, it's not bearing the weight of sin on your shoulders. You're not partnering with Christ to redeem mankind. Only Jesus Christ could do that. You're human, but you're not God. But you're there in unity with his sufferings. But listen to this. And this came to me yesterday afternoon, and I thought, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. Look at this last part. So we get an opportunity to suffer with his sufferings. And by the way, when we suffer with his suffering, and he gets glory from that. Let me look at a few verses. Listen to this first two verses in 1 Peter 4, verses 14 and 16. God gets glory when you get to suffer with him. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, or blessed of ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You see, God gets glory, and God is glorified when you suffer with him. So you're suffering, you're hurting. Guess what? God's glory is upon you. Happy are you, blessed are ye, because you're taking part with Christ. Verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. You're hurting today, glorify God through it. Praise the Lord. I get to share with him. But now the point that I wanted to get to. But let's look at the real exciting part of this. Look at the end of verse 5. Okay, so our sufferings are his sufferings. His sufferings are ours. Okay, we share our sufferings. So the sufferings of Christ abound in us. So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. I want to ask you, do you remember 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians, and the last part of that, and you look at verses 50 to 58. You remember what seems to have had the victory over a person that has died? What seems to have had the victory? Death, right? A person is buried, they go into the ground, and it seems like that dirt, it seems like the grave, it seems like death has had victory over them. But we understand from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that, yes, there was a death. You see, but there's something that is so much more than that dirt. There's something so much more than that casket. There's something so much more than that grave. There's something so much more than that death. There's something more that this passage tells us abounds, goes over the top and overflows. It's bigger and better. Now, go back to the sufferings of Christ. Were they big? Is what Christ had to go through on the cross big? Was it grievous? Was it terrible? Was it horrible? Yes, it was. But I want to tell you, there's something more tremendous than his suffering. And that was his glorification. When he buried in that ground, or in that cave, in that tomb, when he rose from it and declared victor over the grave, victor over death, and he rose from the dead, and he went and exalted, and is now at the right hand of his Father. You remember the passage, Philippians chapter 2, which talks about his condescension and how he, being God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and came upon the form of a servant and as fashioned as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? What happened with Christ? Oh, was there difficulty? Was there humility? Was there going down? Was there the grave? Was there the cross? And the answer, yes. But what overcame all of those? His resurrection, his exaltation, his glorification. Folks, I want to share something. As we look at the last part of this verse, as we look at Christ and what he, in his humiliation, what he went down, and that suffering, and our suffering is together. Don't forget what we just went over. That suffering together, so his suffering's ours, and ours his, that suffering, and we are united in that suffering, but yet he says, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So his consolation, his victory over death, his exaltation, his glorification, his consolation also ours. So we identify with his struggle. We identify with his humility. We identify with all of that cross, death. But as a hurting person out here this morning, you get to identify with him in his glorification and exaltation. So hurting person out here, bottom line, practical line is this. As much, listen to this, as much as you hurt, as much as you go through, as much as you struggle, God's grace abounds. And as you are here sitting this morning, you say, it's so much. Just wait. Because his grace is going to be much bigger. How do we know that, Pastor? Because he says, our sufferings are together, and our glorification is together. And I want to tell you something, his glorification is almighty. And so our victory, our consolation that he's about ready to give is going to be of the same magnitude. Wow. Christ's victory, Christ's glory, Christ's comfort overcomes. It swallows up the distress. God is so good. God is so good. Father, I thank you that you're the God of all comfort. We go through difficulties in life. We go through distress, and I'm so grateful that you are there to help us meet our needs. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity that it's every one of our distresses. You meet all needs. God, I'm thankful that we can be channels used to help somebody else. Help us to be used. Lord, I'm so grateful in all of this that your sufferings and your consolation are both ours. God, thank you. Thank you for taking the load from us. Thank you for giving us the victory. God, you're so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.